Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, you had this article that was very well done, I thought, in The Athletic from Rustin Dodd and Alec Lewis and Andy McCullough. And then Ryan LaFever asked Dayton Moore about the article. And so those comments made their way around.
Yep.
And what really irritated the people is when he said, we've always been very accepting and really willing to take criticism.
I don't know about that.
Especially from those that are looking at it with a critical eye and help us uncover blind spots. We welcome that type of debate and that type of information, but you're right. Anytime somebody does something anonymously, first of all, I think it's disrespectful, lacks integrity. And I think most of those comments came from somebody criticizing simply with a critical spirit. And they want to kick people when they're down, so to speak. And again, I think we're in a really good position going forward. So I just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other and try to stay positive with our people. So the beginning, he says, we're always been very accepting and really willing to take criticism. And then at the end, I just let it go in one ear and out the other. And it just feels like it's if it's criticism you want to hear, then they say, well, that's a critical eye, so we'll listen to that. But if it's criticism you don't want to hear, well, he has a critical spirit. First, Nate, you could speak to this better than us. I mean, that's anonymous sources. Just because someone says something anonymously, I don't think that's disrespectful or lacks integrity.
That's the oldest thing in the book when it comes to sports and journalism. When somebody comes out with a piece that's critical, usually it involves anonymous sources, because the reason the people don't want their name out there is because, you know, they don't want it
kicked out of the clubhouse.
Yeah, they don't want to be blackballed by you talk bad about another organization.
But that's journalism too. Some of the greatest journalistic pieces history involved anonymous sources
I'm not anonymous. Let me put it to you this way.
You know what I mean though? But that's how many sources for great pieces of journalism. They're anonymous, or you wouldn't get any information out of them.
You also wouldn't get any honesty out of them. You actually get more honesty if they don't have to put their name on it. Just like if you're going to take a survey at your office, do you want to make the people get up and say, hey, these are the three people I have a really tough time working with over there? You know, sometimes you got to do anonymous surveys.
I think it's wrong to put a blanket statement. Anyone that does anything anonymously is disrespectful, lacks integrity, and it's really?
I think it can be taken with a grain of salt, because there might be some scouts out there that have an axe to grind because maybe they worked for the club before and they're bitter or something like that. You have to take that all into account for sure when you get these, but you shouldn't just discard them and say, oh, well, that's anonymous, so it's a joke. Because that's not true. Usually that's where you get the most honesty.
Do you think that this regime is always been very accepting and willing to take criticism?
No,
Mike.
No. When I first started here at 810, I remember saying some stuff about the development in the minor leagues, and I got phone calls and emails or whatever, texts saying, you can't say that. That's not true. I'm going, what is false about it? Explain that to me. Well, am I wrong? Well, no, but you can't say it.
Right.
Why not?
Now, Frank, remember Frank, well, back, yeah.
I'm just telling the truth. And the people deserve to hear the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. I'm sorry. But it's the right thing. We have not developed pitching. And if we look back, we'll hear, you can find it. It's a, Dayton Moore says, pitching is the currency of baseball. Right? Didn't you say that?
Right, of course.
Okay. Then we're real, really low on currency right now because we don't have it. Or we can't develop it. One of the two.
So, Nate, I apologize, but if you don't want to elaborate, you don't have to. But, I mean, how many times you get hammered, how many times you get crap for things were said on this show or on this radio station?
Yeah, but Nate brings it on himself most of the time.
Okay, so I ask you a different way. Do you feel like this regime has always been very accepting and really willing to take criticism?
No.
You don't think that's inaccurate?
No, I don't.
Do you know that firsthand?
Yes.
Elaborate.
Look, I want to be clear. I have a really good relationship with a lot of the people that work there.
That's fine.
And so I'm not trying to, you know, look, I think part of the reason that it's hard for them sometimes to take criticism is because they're so passionate about what they do. They're so invested in it. And when they hear somebody from the outside telling them they're doing things the wrong way, that's very offensive to them. And I understand that. But I've had arguments with people with the Royals who try to tell me this is a tough media market.
It's not.
You know,
I played in Boston, guys. No, this is an easy media market.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller fishbowl, you know, but it's not. It's just not. I mean, you got, especially, here's the thing. If you win in this town, it's a paper soft media market. Nobody's saying anything bad about, I mean, just look at the Chiefs. Nobody's saying anything bad about the Chiefs. I mean, you know, you wouldn't dare because they're the most popular thing. The fans will come after you and kill you, if you know. So if you win, it's a paper soft media market. If you lose all the time, there will be people that write critical things about you. And there will be fans that write critical and say critical things about you. That's true, but it's not like it would be in a place like New York or Boston or Philadelphia.
No, not even close.
He went on to say that a lot of people in the organization were disappointed because it wasn't factual. That's quite a claim. But here's what my issue is. Mike and Nate, you could tell me what you think of this, because this is what stood out to me from Dayton Moore's comments. Okay. When talking about, I think, he starts talking about the pitchers, right, in the organization. He said, you just learn to move on from it. It wasn't factual. It left out a lot of important things that I think speak to the upside of where we are and where we're going with our pitchers. You just learn to move on from it. That's just the nature, unfortunately, of the business that we're in. But as I mentioned before, the time that we have with these pitchers, the growth that we're seeing, and I don't think anybody who watches this game and understands this game feels like that our pitchers have peaked out. They feel like there's strong days ahead of them and a great future with this group, and they're going to help us win a lot of baseball games. We're not disappointed one bit. We are really excited about where we are and where we're going. We've gotten young players up here. That's what we set out to do after 2017, was raise the next generation of players that was going to help us win another championship, and we are now seeing that take place. We're seeing these young players who are up here and getting a chance to play. We're not disappointed one bit. How in the hell could you not be disappointed?
I don't know.
With how this team performed this year.
I don't know.
And the lack of success in all those pitchers you drafted, except for Brady Singer. How could you say we're not disappointed one bit? That's what would irk me.
I'm not, because I told you at the beginning, out of these pitchers, if you get one out of those four, you're going to be lucky.
But overall, do you think this team has lived up to the talent on the field?
No, because I saw a film of these kids when they were first drafted, and they were better when they were first drafted. The video I saw of them, the command, the what they were doing, than they are now. Which makes no sense at all.
Nate, like, what do you think when you hear him say, read it, he says, we're not disappointed one bit when talking about these pitchers and what's happened?
I think that
Come on.
I think that that is the defiance of Dayton Moore. I think that is a guy who is fiercely loyal and stubborn. And I think that can be one of his biggest strengths.
You can't say, of course, we're disappointed.
Well, I think that what you saw in the very start, what was the first thing that J.J. Piccolo was quoted as saying in the article? I think it was something like, I'd be lying if we said we thought we were going to be here this year.
I'd be lying if I said this is what we expected.
Yeah.
We thought we'd have a better record right now. We still think we're a better team.
And we all did. We all thought they'd have a better record.
So that tells me you're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We expected this. We didn't meet those expectations. That's like the definition of disappointment. It doesn't mean does that mean we're going to blow the whole thing up or that everybody's fired? That there's a difference there. But clearly, to me, J.J. Piccolo, they're saying, yeah, this has been a disappointing season. We're disappointed with where we are right now. And I think that's just – that is the defiance of Dayton Moore. I think he's the type of person when he feels like his organization's under attack from the outside, he's going to support his guys. He's going to tell everybody to screw off, and we know what we're doing. And now maybe behind closed doors, it's a different conversation. But that's, to me, that's the guy that Dayton Moore's been, you know. And I think, like I said, I think sometimes that's his biggest strength. I also think sometimes it's his biggest weakness, because the comments like that don't land with the fans at all, right? Might land with his people, might land with the people that he's got working for him, but it doesn't land with the fan base at all.
But, I mean, he's talking
we're
about...
we're last in ERA in all baseball,
but he was talking
right?
about the development of the pitchers. How could you not be disappointed in that?
Last in ERA.
Well, it's last in America. Last I checked, it was last in the American League in ERA and last in all of baseball in walks plus hits per inning pitched.
Yeah.
Which some people say that's big, you know, I mean, it's how many guys you're putting on base. They put more people on base than anybody in baseball as a staff. But now, look, they've got numbers. They could tell you, I think the number that they would tell you is that, you know, pitchers, you know, that have come through organizational systems since 2018, they're leading in WAR. Like, they have more WAR from pitchers that have been drafted since 2018 than anybody in baseball. But, you know, that's that argument of, well, that's because you called all these kids up. They're getting opportunities to pitch, but that doesn't mean they're pitching well necessarily. So, you know, it's to me, you can find statistical ways to manipulate numbers to say, you know, things that you want. They would accuse the people of writing this article of doing that. I don't think that's the case. I think it's pretty clear the pitching staff has not. I mean, J.J. Piccolo said it himself. They're not where they thought they would be. The only question to me is, okay, what are you going to do about it? What's the problem that needs to be addressed?
But they haven't figured that out for 25 years.
But so I think that's the part with Dayton that frustrates people, because if he's not going to acknowledge that they're not where they wanted to be, then that means he doesn't think anything needs to change. Everything's going fine. We don't need to change anything. And I think almost everybody would say, well, something needs to change.
Yeah, we'll finish fifth.
Well, they just let go of the pitching coordinator. So why do they let him go if they're not disappointed one bit?
Right.
What, did he fart in a meeting or something? Like, why is he? Why did he go?
Could have.
It's just like it's not. It's. How could you accept
that
comment?
One of the things I saw, and I think it was a scouter or somebody in that article said, you know, they rush the kids too fast. Well, wait a second, they're college kids. They're 25, 26 years old. 24,
I will
25.
Say this. I will say this. The pandemic messed that all up. I mean, it really did. That screwed up a year of development for all those guys. They had to stay at a camp over at Monarch Stadium and play against each other for an entire year.
But everybody went through that, and it seems like everyone else has been able, you know, most people, the good teams, the good organizations have been able to navigate their way through that.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, that's fair. I'm just saying when it comes to that part about rushing through development.
Okay, answer. You know. So do you tell me this is fair or not? This is because this is – we've said this, and I just think this is true, okay? This is an excerpt that I'm sure pissed them off from the article of The Athletic. If these stud pitchers, Kowar, Lynch, Singer, all these guys, had been Dodgers or Rays or Guardians, they would be very, very good, said one rival pro scout, referencing three clubs seen at the forefront of pitching development. But unfortunately, they haven't been taught how to move well. They haven't been introduced to the metrics that give them an idea of how they can pitch most effectively. And so that gives the question, because people ask, well, are they just drafting the wrong guys, or is a problem with development? And I'm not saying all of them. Maybe Kowar was just going to fall flat on his face anyway because it looks like...
He had the best stuff of any of them coming up.
But it also looks like on the mound, he wants to be anywhere else but on that mound.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
well, and you got Ace Lacy, too. You're going, hurt.
Right. Ace Lacy, he's not close.
No.
He's the number four overall pick.
Yep.
And so do you think, like, say, because Singer's been good.
Singer's been good.
But, like, Lynch, Kowar, Bubich.
Bubich.
All these guys.
I can't watch him pitch anymore. I'm sorry.
But if he was pitching for the Rays or the Guardians.
No, he'd still get
it. Or the Giants.
Giants, Dodgers. As a whole, these group of pitchers, would they be better?
Well, sure. I think they would. I think they would.
Why? Like, what are they doing to the Royals? Apparently,
if you watch those clubs, all of them pitch. They don't just throw.
Bod's not going to like what the difference is, but they use analytics like crazy.
Well, and this is the other.
Yeah, they push that on me with Astros when they won the World Series. Oh, look at the analytics. No, look at the draft picks they had. Look at the development. Look at the people they went out and got.
And they were beating trash cans,
and plus,
too.
Yeah, plus they were cheating. Come on.
This is the quote you're talking about, Nate.
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, Nate. Sorry.
Get that Kool-Aid. They're still further behind than most organizations in terms of their implementation of technology and truly understanding data, what it means, and how to implement it into player-specific development plans. They're trying to search for what that recipe is, said a scout. That's one thing to have a guy that gives you the data, but what do you do with it? How do you implement it? All these other teams are doing
it. All the data in the world doesn't make any difference if the kid can't throw a pitch where he wants to and repeat it. It doesn't matter. You can shift. You can do anything you want to do. If he doesn't put the ball where he's supposed to, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Bob, we need you to breathe with us.
No,
that's true.
I don't want him to breathe.
No.
I want him to
I'm tired of seeing balls go right down the center of the plate.
But all these organizations that are investing more in the analytics and the technology.
You think the analytics would have helped Kwas or whatever he was last night not hit those guys in the arm?
Can you just take a breath and listen for a second?
I don't have to. Nate, I'm old. I don't have to listen to your crap.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to, will you?
Yeah, okay.
Why are those organizations developing guys that can throw strikes better and manipulate their pitches better than the Royals?
It's not a computer.
They're using it's not just numbers. It's video technology. It's all sorts of other data that they're taking in to work with these guys on their mechanics because one of the things that's alleged in the article, and the Royals are pushing back saying, hey, we've already changed this stuff. And so maybe they have, and we just haven't seen the results yet. But the article saying that, you know, the Royals have been very rigid on everybody's got to pitch on this side of the rubber. Everybody's got to throw fastballs in this count. Everybody's got to throw curveballs instead of sliders. And these organizations that are building these pitching labs and everything, they're using the video technology and other analytics to say, okay, well, your body actually is better at doing this. So let's maximize your body's ability to throw this slider. Your body is better at throwing in this fashion, so let's maximize your ability to throw in that fashion. And it's more malleable to each pitcher's individual approach, which is actually getting back to what you've always said. Everybody's got a different throwing motion, right? Everybody's got a different way that the ball comes out of their hand. And these labs, I mean, dude, I've gone up to KU and I used to work with the strength conditioning program and stuff they can do. They can have you jump off a box and tell you, you know what, you load from your quads, but Steven loads from his hamstrings.
Damn right.
So what we really need to do is strengthen Steven's quads and strengthen your hamstrings. And they can figure those things out and tailor it to the individual because instead of having every single guy do bench press the same way, well, your chest is already strong. You need to work on this. And what the article
is. Are we talking baseball
or
are we talking football?
Mike, where do you load from?
It's all the same. Bud, come on, man. You've been working with pitchers your whole life. You know everybody's got a different natural motion.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about
it. Pitch.
But they
some guys are better tailored to throw a two-seamer, and some guys are better tailored to throw a four-seamer.
Right.
And the allegations.
Does it take a video to do that?
Well, you know
really?
what? It, it, in today's world, and here's the thing about this too, Bod, and that's what the article is saying is, anymore, these pitchers have access to a lot of this stuff before they ever get into a big league organization. They're going to some, if you got a kid that throws 90 miles an hour anymore, you're spending money to send him to whatever local lab will get him to throw 97 so that he can get $9 million in the draft. So by the time
I thought that was illegal to take that stuff.
By the time the kid gets into the organization, he already has all these ideas on his throwing program and analytics and the way he wants to use them. And the allegations, again, I'm just saying this is what the article says, is that they get into the Royals organization and they don't feel like they're getting the same support that their buddies who got drafted by other organizations are. And that's the problem that you have right now is the pitchers don't believe – some of the pitchers, allegedly, in the Royals organization don't believe they're being armed with the same opportunities to get better as pitchers in other organizations. That's a serious problem. Whether those pitchers are right or wrong, that's a problem. I don't think the Royals want to believe it. I don't think they want to believe that there's pitchers in their minor league system and in their big league clubhouse, by the way, who don't believe in the system, who are going around talking to their buddies that play in other organizations going, hey, can you believe we have to do this? Or can you believe that we don't have access to this? I think you see a few quotes from JJ that kind of indicate he sees that they got to make some changes because they're losing some guys. But I think that there's that Dayton in some ways comes across a little more loyal to the people that are already in the organization going, these pitchers got to suck it up and stop griping and figure it out because they're supposed to be big leaguers.
He's not disappointed one bit, though. So there's no problem.
I mean, that's the cliff notes of the article.
What do you say, Mike? Wow. Wow.
How can you argue with logic like that?
You're not going to change my mind, so it doesn't really matter. You can talk
Royals then. You're with the Royals. You don't think they need to do all this technology stuff. Just keep doing it the way they're doing it.
No, they need to teach them how to pitch and throw strikes. The problem is these kids, they draft these kids in, which I after watching video of the Big Four that they drafted, they were actually throwing strikes. They were locating. They were doing everything you're supposed to do when they were drafted. And then they get here, and they can't do it. Explain that to me. Why?
So you're saying they took
what I thought was a pretty good core of pitchers.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
And they tried to fix something that wasn't broke.
That's what I'm thinking. Because the bottom line, all these kids who get drafted anymore, oh, look, and I've seen the scouts. I've been to those things. Oh, look at you got kids throwing the balls off the screen in the backstop. But, look, he's throwing 96 miles an hour. Yeah, but he couldn't hit the wall if you told him to. What good is that? Well, we can teach him to throw strikes. No, you can't.
But, okay, so let's say if Tampa.
Back him off and have him throw strikes. Locate. Movement. Change speeds.
If Cleveland and Tampa and Milwaukee and these teams are using data and technology, and it's the proof is in the pudding, and they have a system that works, don't you think the Royals should at least try to be more advanced and maybe say, you know what, it's working for them, maybe we should do something different?
That's their call.
But why would you? But right now,
sorry. There's a handful of good pitchers out there.
But
that's
why would thing over and over again? Though they've got to do something different, right? They just can't.
Baseball's so it doesn't really matter, Steven, because everything's relievers now. It has nothing. Very few guys actually are starters. If you can give me four or five innings, that's good. And then we'll just get 18 guys can pitch the rest of the game out. It's hard to watch. It really is.
But here's the thing, and look, I agree with you on all that stuff. I think analytics unintentionally has ruined the entertainment value of the sport in many ways.
That's what it's supposed to be, isn't it?
But
isn't it supposed to be entertaining to people?
Yeah, that's why they got a pitch clock next year.
Yeah, you're
but
great.
The most entertaining
I'm going to go to so many games with you. We're going to watch.
No,
it.
I'm not.
Speed
good luck.
Most,
good luck.
Most entertaining thing is
no.
Still
if you want to come
baseball.
To the house and sit next to me on in the couch while I'm in my chair watching, yeah,
I'll
that's
be
fine.
Happy to. Okay. When we'll watch the pitch
look,
clock together.
The responsibility the Royals have is to win games. That's the most entertaining thing. If the team was winning games, there'd be more people in the stands in Kansas City. Okay? The bigger issues of baseball need to be settled by baseball, not by the Royals.
No, it's not going to be.
So the point is,
a bigger base is really going to help, though. Don't you think?
I'm blind. I can't
see
anything.
Oh, my God.
I want more stolen bases for rotisserie purposes.
But, Mike.
This Nate Eaton has stolen bases in four straight games. Let's go.
Can we get back to the pitching for a second?
Sure. It sucks. So why? Why even bother?
Say it. What are you going to say?
Well, let's just take a look at the case of Jacob Junis from earlier this year, right?
Yeah, he gave up six. Was it six yesterday?
Well, I don't even know. I haven't looked at his numbers lately. Maybe he's not having a good year.
You don't
anymore.
Want to.
No, you don't want to.
Well, go ahead.
But, you know, when he was pitching well, it was, well, he's using his slider finally, right? And the Royals said, well, we tried to get him to use the slider and he wouldn't do it. And then he gets to San Francisco and they're able to convince him to do it. This ties back into what this article is talking about, which is.
Oh, I understand that. Yes.
You got to convince these. You have to coach. You have to meet these kids where they are. And I believe that there's quotes from J.J. Piccolo that indicate he sees this. But if the kids want some analytics, they want to feel like they're supported by the technology, you got to provide that for them, or you got to do a really good sales job to convince them they don't need that crap, especially when all their buddies are going to Houston and winning a bunch of games
and
seeing their spin rate go through the roof and all that stuff.
You want to know how you sell your process? Have successful pitchers at the major league level.
Right.
This is all results based, right? That's how you do that.
Right.
Say, hey, look at all these guys that we have right now in the majors that have gone through this process and they're kicking ass. You want to be like that? Do what we tell you to do.
Yeah.
If you're a minor leaguer, do you want to follow the path that Chris Bubich and Jackson Kowar and Daniel Lynch are on right now? Mm. I go, that's what you want me to
do? That's exactly right.
That's how you sell it. You could say all the words you want, and if you don't have the end result, then what are you doing anyway?
That's where I was. I had three or four 20 game winners right next to me, teaching me how to do what I'm supposed to do on the mound with the crap that I had.
It's like if you're a young quarterback, right? At any point, and it's easy to say that with Patrick Mahomes, but at any point, and you go and the Chiefs draft you, you're going to listen to what Andy Reid has to say because you look at his body of work. He knows what the hell he's talking about, okay? Because that's where the juice comes from. This is what I've done. Listen to me, and you'll be successful. The Royals can't sell that right now to young pitchers. You're telling me if you're a young pitcher, you're not going to be skeptical and say, well.
Yeah, it's not panning out for the rest of them. Why should I do it?
It's hard to buy into that. Do you agree with that, Nate?
These kids have all had success through their whole life. Their whole life doing it this way, okay?
Look,
it might not be good enough for the big leagues, but it was good enough to get to that point, okay? Now, if there's changes to be made and you're not successful, you're not going to change.
I think that's all true. And I have not been – I am not actively in the clubhouse these days. I've been down there maybe two or three times all year like I used to be. When I used to be in the clubhouse on a daily basis, I could tell you for a fact that when you're in the clubhouse on a daily basis, players will come to you and tell you things. You know, when the Royals – when I was in the clubhouse on a daily basis, they were losing 100 games every year. And trust me, there was no shortage of players that would come up to me and gripe about the way things were being run there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you that some of the people that are around the Royals on a daily basis have had pitchers come up to them and tell them, you know, I don't like the way things are going around here. Now, are those pitchers right? Or is it just sour grapes? I'm not here to tell you the answer to that, you know. I mean, I think that's the part that maybe that Dayton doesn't want to hear. You know, because they're not going to go to Dayton Moore and say it. Right? Like, if you're a young, struggling pitcher, you're not going to go to Dayton Moore and say, hey, you know, your pitching coach's a joke. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to do that. But they say it's other people. And the thing is, in today's world, too, all these players, they talk to the guys in the other organizations, you know, because they played college together or they got the same agent or whatever. And they talk to each other. And I do think it's a real problem that the Royals have on their hands is getting the confidence of these pitchers. You know, that they know what they're doing and that they've got the systems in place that can help put them in the best position to have success.
All right. Do you? Okay, we'll end it with this. So you're not in favor of a pitching clock?
No.
Are you in favor of us instituting a question clock for Nate, where he has to say it's 25 seconds and then and then his microphone goes mute?
Well, I just want him in studio,
right?
So I can make faces at him.
Yes or no?
Yeah. Okay. No, I like it. He actually thinks things out. That's fine.
I don't always agree with him, but that's here.
Okay.
Okay. Did we agree to disagree on everything?
Yeah. I just want to get my verticutter back, Nate. Is that all right?
No, I need to use it again this week.
I'm not disappointed one bit. I can tell you that.
Yeah, shoot. So,
thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I wish I could stay longer, but I got to go.
We got some resolution there. Aaron Judge has 60 home
60
runs.
60 bombs.
Pujols is going to hit 700. And here we are talking about pitchers that can't pitch.
Got some clouds to go yell at now, Mike.
There you go.
Yeah, wow. There's a few out there. I want some rain. We need rain.
Bring on the rain. We're going to bring on the pain. Bring on Matt Derrick after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Let's say hello to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello there, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Steven. How about yourself, my friend?
Doing all right, man. Let's get to the news. So now we know Willie Gay suspended 4 games. There's been a lot of discussion, why 4 games and everything else, but now the Chiefs need to figure out what they do defensively without Willie Gay. And the Colts certainly do not look as tough as maybe people thought in the offseason, because they got awful, and they got shut out by the Jags and tied with the Texans. And so let's just start there. How will the Chiefs fill that void left by Willie Gay's suspension?
Yeah, I know there's a conventional wisdom might be that you think that Leo Chanel is going to get a lot of playing time out of this. But you know, remember that Leo has not been prepped to play that Will spot. He's been exclusively, you know, used as a Sam, as a backup mic behind Nick Bolton. So I don't think that he's the natural fit to be able to pick up most of that playing time. You're probably talking about Darius Harris, whom the Chiefs at least will list on the unofficial depth chart as the replacement for Willie Gay. Elijah Lee might get some time in there. You could certainly shift Nick Bolton, you know, if you wanted to. But I think you're probably talking about Harris and Lee getting a lot of that. And remember, too, I mean, in some of these 4 games, especially I would think against Tampa and Buffalo, Chiefs are probably going to spend most of the time in substitution packages. So you're probably talking about having an extra, you know, safety or defensive back out there. Now, that would normally be for the Sam. So you're probably still looking at who's going to play that weak side linebacker role. But I think that's where most of the playing time is going to end up going. Now, it's going to vary, obviously, based on the game plan. I mean, against the Colts, which is a team that you expect to try and run the football a little bit, hey, I would expect the Chiefs to be in a base 4-3 a lot of the time. So that probably does mean a guy like Leo Chanel, who's more of a downhill player. There's different things that they can do, but that seems like at this point the most likely options for the next 4 weeks without Willie Gay.
Nate Bucati.
What's up, Matt? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Nate. How are you?
Good. So I think that is interesting what you brought up, because one of the mantras I think you hear in the NFL a lot is when a team gets embarrassed, the next week when they go out there, they typically they feel like their manhood's been tested and they got to go out and they got to make a show of force, especially a team that likes to run the ball like the Colts. They only got 9 carries for 54 yards out of Jonathan Taylor last week. I feel like they're going to be intent on running the football against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're going to try to really make a show of force in the game. That's the worst time for what you're talking about right there, right? Like that's a major test of whoever's going to fill in for Willie Gay, is it not?
No, I think you're right. I mean, it definitely is. And the Colts, I mean, let's face it. I mean, they have not been able to run the football well, you know, and this is a team that normally does that. Mm-hmm. But a big part of it is that teams have, you know, have not had any fears whatsoever about crashing in against the run because the quarterback play has been terrible. That's what, you know, and honestly, I mean, the Colts, you look at this team, 2 through 53, I think they're probably one of the better rosters in the league when fully healthy. And, you know, and they've had some injury problems too. But, you know, they just haven't gotten the one spot right. The quarterback spot's not right. So, and the one thing that I think that, you know, a lot of teams around the NFL are probably thinking right now, looking at the start that the Colts have had, is you don't want to be playing the Colts the week that they figure it out. And then when the Matt Ryan starts to finally click, at some point it's going to. I mean, this is not a 2-15 football team. This is a good football squad. So you got to figure they're going to figure it out at some point. And, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a rough week to be, you know, having to miss one of your premier, you know, defensive players. I mean, Willie Gay, even though I thought he had maybe a few aggression mistakes against the Chargers, he still had 10 tackles. He was a big deal, and I think that you certainly look at – I think the defense for the Chiefs has certainly outperformed expectations the first couple of weeks. And there's no doubt Willie Gay has been a big part of that, and I think especially against the Chargers. So, you know, replacing that is going to be a big deal. And, you know, I mean, because you just don't replace the speed and the athleticism of Willie Gay. Nobody else has that. So, and he plays such an important position as far as, you know, the pursuit, you know, that you need at that will spot. So it's going to be tough. And, yeah, it's going to be tough for whoever ends up at that spot.
You think Matt Ryan is officially washed up?
I mean, the numbers certainly kind of look that way. But we've seen it before, you know, with some veterans that have had some rough starts that sometimes they figure it out and they get their ways out of it. And hey, it's always can be a tough start when you're changing teams and you're in a new spot. And maybe it's just going to take him some time. But you have to wonder if, you know, how much more left in the tank, because Matt Ryan has kind of looked old this season. And that's a position where you can get old in a hurry. So I don't know. I mean, I still think it's, you know, tough to underestimate these guys. And, you know that Matt Ryan has done it in the past. So let's see. But so far, I mean, he has not looked well at all. And he hasn't been protecting the football, which is kind of odd for him. So I like I said, I fully expect at some point this team is going to wake up. And Matt Ryan is going to wake up. But you just don't want it to happen against you.
It's just like at Houston and at Jacksonville. That's two wins. It's got, yeah. At the very least, that's got to be 1-1. And so I'm just like, I'm almost, so what if they wake up? Like, what are they? I mean, I Matt Ryan, to me, the people that had, like, super high expectations for him, I didn't get it. And I think the shine has come off Frank Reich as a coach right now. I mean, I've got serious questions about this football team. Because I watched a good chunk of that game against Jacksonville, and they were just getting beat. And I know they always lose at Jacksonville, but that was a blowout. And, you know, and they were, you know, life and death with Davis Mills in Houston. I mean, this just, the Chiefs are just flat out better than them. And I know, I get it, it's on the road. I think it's going to be their home opener. But their fans had to be pissed off. The Chiefs should just go in there, Willie Gay or not, and beat the hell out of this team, based on what I've seen the first 2 weeks.
I mean, this certainly feels like a game that shouldn't be what we have seen around the league, and especially this week with, you know, crazy comebacks or anything. I mean, this feels like if you get the Colts down by 14, they're not coming back. I mean, they'll have the life, you know, taken out of them at that point. But at the same time, you know, you look at it and you see some of the upsets that are going on right now. And I was just looking at it to see, you know, kind of how the Chiefs have performed on these mini bye weeks in the past. And I'm surprised. I mean, they're only 5-5 under Andy Reid, coming off Thursday night games, which I thought they would probably be a little bit better with some prep time. That's the one thing I would traditionally think would maybe keep this a bit from being a trap game. You come off a tough game against the Chargers, and then you go to a team that's underperforming like the Colts. Sometimes there can be that letdown because you're tired, you're worn out. those things can catch up with you. But with the extra rest, you think this team would be refreshed and ready for this and, you know, have that Chargers game enough behind them. They're not going to be weary mentally and physically and more susceptible to this being a trap game. So I'm with you. I mean, it seems hard to paint a scenario where the Colts pull this out.
Right, winning covers up many deficiencies. And so let's talk about what the Chiefs can improve upon. Despite being 2-0, what do you think needs to get better after watching this team the first 2 weeks?
I mean, it's heavily weighted towards what we saw in the Chargers game, but they need to figure out short yardage. And I think they've got the resources to do it. I mean, you know, with this offensive line that you know has some mauling abilities, you got to think that, you know, just going straight up the middle sometimes is going to be an effective play. And honestly, their most effective third and short, fourth and short goal line, you know, play has probably been the Mike Burton up the middle play, where you just put as much beef out there as you can and just, you know, model them on and go for it. But, you know, Andy has gotten kind of, once again, cute in those situations, and it hasn't necessarily worked out for them. At some point, they got to figure out, you know, whether or not that they're physical enough to be able to, as Eric Binney would say, run the football when they want to. That's the one thing that they have got to prove. And that probably applies even to beyond short yardage, just the ability to run the football when they decide they want to. I mean, Clyde's had a great start. They've had some, you know, great plays at this point, you know, and certainly the big runs that they've been able to produce have been great. But third and one, I mean, that's an automatic. You need to be able to convert that 60% of the time if you're a really good football team. And they've been struggling with that. And again, it gets back to, I think, that sometimes they just get too cute. Maybe part of it is certainly there's probably been at least one of those, you know, short yard situations that if Blake Bell was healthy on the roster, you'd see him in there as a quarterback. They've had success with that play. So maybe that's, again, a little bit of reason why they've gone back to their old ways of, you know, trying to be tricky on those third down plays. But that, to me, is the only really blemish that I think you've seen with the offense. The defense has been playing, I think, as well as you could expect at this point.
Nate Bucati, any final questions for Matt Derrick?
Yes. I think it was Steven said something about how, you know, you got to get after Matt Ryan because he's a statue. How would you rate the Chiefs' pass rush through the first two games of the year? Does it need to get better, and how much better?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would probably borderline between B- and C+. I mean, it's been above average to me, so I think I'm okay there. I mean, would you like more production from the edges? Certainly. Chris Jones has been a pretty dominant force at this point. I don't know if he can play much better. I mean, you know, certainly for at least from a, you know, certain points in the game, I mean, he's just taken over a few points in these first two games. So I don't think there's been a problem on the interior, but I think you definitely want some more production from the outside. And I think that will come. I mean, you know, I think at this point, Joe Collins did a pretty good job of keeping those guys rotated. That's part of it. George Karloftis, I think, is certainly just going to get better throughout the season. I would not still be surprised if he ends up with a pretty decent sack total. And, you know, and against the Colts, you should be able to get a lot of guys in the line of scrimmage. So if Steve Spagnuolo wants to blitz, I think he should feel pretty comfortable doing that. They're going to have some opportunities. So I think there's a few different ways that you can go after Ryan, and you're right. I mean, he is not a mobile guy at this point in his career, and teams have had success going after him. He's had a lot of fumbles so far in this early in the season, so if you can get pressure on him, get your hands on him, you're going to force some turnovers, and that will be the difference in this game if the Chiefs can do that.
All right. Marco sent me a tweet from something called NFL Rumors. What the hell is this? What was that?
It's kind of an aggregation site, yeah.
NFL Rums is the handle. Is this?
Oh, boy. Oh, that makes
rumblings, rumors.
Do you like it? I mean,
NFL.
It says free agent Jason Pierre-Paul met with the Ravens for the second time today, but left without a deal. That was yesterday. Two teams also to watch are the Eagles and Chiefs. And then Josina Anderson also tweeted, just got off the phone with Jason Pierre-Paul. He said, I worked out for Baltimore this morning. Everything went good. I left there already. The interest is mutual. We'll see how the business side goes. But a couple other teams reached out as well. Should the Chiefs be interested in Jason Pierre-Paul, Matt Derrick?
For the right price, which would be vet minimum, yeah. I mean, I think he'd at least be interested to kick the tires and see how healthy he is and where he's at right now. But then again, I mean, you know, at this point in his career, is he a huge upgrade over what you have, considering that, you know, he'd be coming in cold, no time in this defense, no experience from that standpoint? How much would it disrupt the chemistry? Those are probably some questions to consider. But, hey, if I'm Brett Veach, I'm absolutely kicking the tires. But it's got to be a bargain basement deal, because remember, the Chiefs have almost zero cap space at this point. You can always free up more, but I'm not sure if it's worth it to bring in a guy, especially if, you know, maybe he's not the guy that he used to be.
Marco wants to know if you think Jason Pierre-Paul could lend a helping hand.
Wow. One, for sure.
Marco, that's something, ridiculous.
You can't see me, Matt, but I'm giving you one thumbs up because I can't give two.
We're Marco, terrible, terrible. Marco and I are
Marco
terrible.
Said that he could bring fireworks to the defense. I don't. That's not. I'm not going to listen to that.
He, in the past, he's been an explosive player.
Oh, jeez. I can't believe Nate hasn't said something, but that's fine.
Well, the thing is, I'm thinking of a joke, but I just can't put my finger on it.
That crosses the line. I think that one crossed the line.
Well, that one did, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I think that was inappropriate. Matt, I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry to have you a part of that. You can hang up now.
No, I think I brought the show down to that level.
Well, that's
my fault.
This show has been in this level for years, Matt. You didn't bring it down to anything. Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Gary is waiting, but I do have to ask. 6.5 is the line, right? Cover?
Yeah, I think. Cover? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think probably pretty easily. I've got the Chiefs winning 31-17, so I would definitely bet the cover on this one.
What about the 49.5?
Some of us might have already done that.
49.5 over under.
Yes.
My only concern about the over is whether or not the Colts get there or not. But I mean, Chiefs might, you know, get 48, but I can't guarantee that the Colts will help them out.
Boom. Thank you very much, Matt Derrick.
Take care, guys.
That is Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. Welcome back, people. We missed you.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you have a good couple of days off?
Yes.
Good. Nate and Lebo and I were having a good time, so.
I bet you were living it up.
We were. It was fantastic. So, who's ready for a cold front?
I am.
Yes.
Hoodie weather. Yeah. I like to wear hoodies to cover up my fat.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we just had a heat wave for this time of the year of all heat waves. I mean, I'm not sure if we've ever had a heat wave at this late. Oh, it's been 96 degrees, 95 degrees, 99, 100 in the past. 3 days in a row. It was 96 Sunday. It was 99 Monday. It was 99 yesterday.
Very uncomfortable.
It was a little ridiculous. And right now, there's a cold front. It's near Northwest Missouri State campus at Maryville.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it extends southwest to near Hiawatha, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
to just northwest of Manhattan, Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah. And 73 degrees in the Little Apple. And it is 49 on the Nebraska-South Dakota border. So the cold rear is heading this way. Yeah, 49 up there. So we may drop into the 50s by tomorrow morning at this time. But right now that front is still up there, so it's going to get up into the 80s to near 90 degrees again today. But it should stop as the wind shifts to the north, increases at 15 to 25 miles per hour later today, and temperatures begin to drop. Then, as Mike Boddicker said about a half hour ago, he wants some rain. Then, we hope for some rain. But we have been in a continuing, growing, dry spell that's bordering on being drought conditions. That we really, really need to get drinking water. Some of the models have rain, and some have just a few drops. So I'll be working on that tracking. Any questions? I know it's shocking that I did the weather for the last minute and a half, 2 minutes.
I like it.
How much rain are we going to get on Friday?
Yeah.
How much rain are we going to get on Friday?
Friday, the Plaza Art Fair is going on. We got Friday Night Lights, big football games out there. Cloudy. There's a chance of rain Friday morning. It should be gone by evenings for the Plaza Art Fair. Should be out of here. It'll be a cool day. You might need a light coat, I guess. But then Saturday, a big warm-up comes back. It's going to get back into the 80s on Saturday. So a warm front passes. But any rain Friday should be in the first half of the day, maybe lingering into the afternoon, and then out by evening. I'm answering weather questions today.
Amazing.
I don't know. Stephen, do you have any questions?
No, I'm pretty satisfied with everything you said.
Oh, my gosh. I learned from Jeff Penner. You know, he taught me how to do the weather.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
That was great, Jeff. So, Stephen, what did you do on your days off?
Nothing. I actually went to see, I had an MRI on my back and spent time with the family. Went to a couple of my daughter's volleyball games and spent time with my lovely wife. And that was really it, man. Just stayed home and tried to recover from this back issue.
Well, good. Well, you sound good. It's great to have you back,
though. Oh, I feel terrible, but I sound great. Thank you, Gary.
Oh, boy. All right. Do you know what's one little sports moment here?
Oh.
The Buffalo Bills, obviously, they're playing, like, in a different world right now. But, you know, we've got them. The Chiefs could be 5-0. The Bills could be 5-0. They got a tough game this week against Miami. But, yeah, Chiefs have to go to Tampa Bay. By the way, there is a hurricane that will be developing in the next week and targeting Florida. So the Chiefs are heading to Tampa Bay a week from Sunday night for Sunday Night Football on NBC. But there could be a hurricane in Florida between now and then. Something to monitor if you happen to be planning travel down there. The Chiefs have some work to do, and it's great having these Buffalo Bills look so good and focused. They got a chip on their shoulders. The Chiefs should too, you know. But we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited. Yeah, there you go. I love that chip. Go eat the chip. Have a good day, guys.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.